we present something called Hudwinks, starring Roy Hudd and four other fortunates who'll be eating meat this weekend. And tonight we present...
The Curse of the Smollett's Curse.
Our story derives its roots in the ancient civilization that was Egypt in 3000 BC, amidst the dazzling splendors of the Middle Kingdom, 11th Dynasty. This was an Egypt of immeasurable wealth and ended for its abundance of natural sand, enabling it to corner the world market in novelty egg timers. And yet, despite this good news, a shadow of mourning loomed darkly over the land for the great pharaoh, Sheikh Azapparat, lay gasping on his deathbed, barely conscious of his weeping family or the moaning of his prostrate minions.
Doctor, is he...
Too late, my child. I'm afraid his minions have prostrated. It's the end.
Oh, he should never have had it done at his age. Oh, he can't die, not now.
We all die at some time, child.
I know, but he's just renewed his Bupa subscription. What a waste of money.
Daughter.
I'm here, Father.
During my reign, I have amassed a great fortune. A fortune with which I have been both very astute and yet old-fashioned.
You mean?
Yes, it's all in a numbered Swiss mattress. Asylum, this fortune is yours if you promise never to reveal the secret location of my burial tomb.
Father, your tomb will never be disturbed. I shall keep the secret hidden so deep within my bosom it will be like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
I think two haystacks is a better description.
He's dead.
And so he should be, telling jokes like that. Asylum remained true to her word until her 98th year, when she died of fatigue trying to open a packet of Kraft cheese slices. Our story now leaps forward in time to the present day, to a neat red brick terraced house in NW8. Do what, Mother?
Open a packet of Kraft cheese slices. Oh. Our Compton and Melissa, they're trying to get some sleep.
But I'm only getting a bit of supper, Mother. Stop nagging.
You shouldn't have cheese for your supper. You know it makes you snore.
All right, all right. I'll open a tin of beans instead.
I'm saying thoughts perhaps a cheese isn't such a bad idea. You know something, Dad? I can't help feeling that some of the magic has gone out of our marriage.
Nonsense, girl. We still make love, don't we?
Well, I know, but you have to smoke your pipe at the same time. I mean, some women have sweet nothings whispered in their ear, and what do I get in my ear? Half an ounce of Ogden's ready rubbed. I mean, it's not the same.
Hush a minute, Mother.
What?
Listen. Listen. Listen to our Compton and Melissa upstairs.
Oh, what on earth's he doing?
Well... He's not pumping up his bicycle tyres, is he?
Compton?
Yes, Melissa?
I wish you wouldn't pump your bicycle tyres up in the bedroom. I'm trying to get some sleep.
I'm just finished, dear. I'm coming to bed now.
Yes, young newlyweds Compton and Melissa Smollett. A love union bound with the same consistency as cement. There was three of her to only one of him. Life, then, had all the sensation and melodramatic frenzy you'd get dancing the lancers with a one-legged law lord. But next morning, something was going to change all that.
Oh.
Compton, wake up.
What? Oh, thank goodness it's you, Melissa. I've just had the most awful nightmare. Mm-hmm. I was cast away on a desert island, just me and the Ivy Benson all-girl band.
What's so awful about that?
I was Ivy Benson.
Yes, well, put your bat on away and listen. You remember that holiday competition I did in the magazine?
Competition?
Yeah, where they showed you 8 photos of Andrew Lloyd Webber and you had to choose 5 which most looked like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Steady on, Melissa. We could be sued for libel, you know.
No, I've checked. Kangaroos can't sue anyone. Oh. Anyway, I've won 2 weeks all expenses paid holiday to anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world?
Oh, isn't it exciting?
It certainly is, Melissa. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be outlandishly adventurous and go somewhere really interesting.
You mean?
Yes, Herne Bay.
Herne Bay?
What's wrong with Herne Bay?
Come with us as we turn off the A298 to explore this delightful glittering jewel of the East Coast. Set crown-like on the rugged cliff and raining majestically over the area, although at times this rain turning to a slight drizzle. As we approach Herne Bay, over the level crossing and past the old defensive minefield with its now weathered signboard inviting German invaders to pick your own strawberries, we find ourselves at the cliff edge. And as we abseil down the winding sandy path, our Packamax ballooning in the balmy hurricane, we reach the Herne Bay Beach Activity Hut, where we hire a brace of lugworm shovels and try our luck under the pier. Dusk, our buckets full, and over the distant rumbling thunder, one can hear the unmistakable cry of a lost child as it sinks slowly in the mudflats.
Melissa, if we don't go to Herne Bay, that means I've bought these personalised lugworm shovels for nothing.
Forget lugworms, Compton. You won't need them where we're going.
Where's that?
Egypt.
Egypt?
I've never told you this, Compton, but ever since I was a child, I've had this strange affinity with Egypt, a peculiar sense of belonging, as though Egypt is the place where I should be. I can't explain it.
Perhaps it's something to do with your mother looking like a camel.
Over the next few weeks, Compton, fully recovered from his broken jaw, tried to change Melissa's mind with tantalizing bribes designed to appeal to her feminine nature. He even bought her a glass cabinet to keep her school boxing trophies in. But it was useless. It came from MFI and the door wouldn't shut right. We rejoin them as they do some last-minute packing.
Flip-flops, bikini, sun cream lotion, ladies' private things. Oh, Compton, I can't wait to get on the beach, and if it's deserted, I may even go topless.
If you go topless, it will be deserted. Melissa, won't you change your mind about Egypt? I mean, they don't even have proper toilets.
Stop belly aching, Compton, and get your case packed, and only pack those things you know you're going to use.
Oh, very well. Travel iron, travel washing up liquid, travel vacuum cleaner. Here, what's this?
Something I bought you that's very necessary in Egypt. It's called a pith helmet.
I told you they don't have proper toilets, don't they?
Hello. Sounds like they're arguing again, Mother.
Oh, that sounds like them coming downstairs.
Hello, Mum. Hello, Dad. That sound you heard was us coming downstairs.
I'll watch for the taxi.
So it's off to Cairo, is it, son?
Yes, Dad.
Come over here, son, and let me give you a little bit of fatherly advice.
Yes, Dad.
First of all, how old are you now?
I'll be 28 next month, Dad. Why?
Well, you're a bit old to be sitting on my knee, son, aren't you?
Sorry, Dad.
Right, now. Now, very soon you're going to be strolling about in the seedy debauched flesh pots of Cairo, and you're going to see things that any decent man will find repulsive and disgusting. Know what I mean?
You mean like that magazine I found hidden in the airing cupboard?
Keep your voice down. Now, it's odds on you'll be accosted by certain kinds of ladies soliciting in the street.
They'll be wasting their time, Dad. I've already got a solicitor. Peabody and Postlethwaite in the High Street.
Oh, Lord, I know this is the fruit of my loins, but why did it have to be 11? Look, son, what I'm saying is, resist any temptations to satisfy your natural masculine urges, or you might catch something.
No, I won't, Dad. I'm not taking my fishing tackle on this trip.
Go!
Coming. Bye, Mum. Bye, Dad.
Bye.
No. Don't get so upset, Mother. He'll be back with us in a fortnight.
I know. That's what I'm so upset about.
Cairo, a city of startling contrast, where the ancient stands side by side with the modern. A bit like a Bruce Forsyth wedding photograph.
Here is your suite, sir, madam.
Oh, Compton, what a lovely room, and look at the marvellous view.
Yes, dear, that is the River Nile, the longest river in the world. A very interesting river, being 6,695 kilometres in length, rising from its source at Lake Victoria and flowing northward to its finger-like delta on the Mediterranean coast of Egypt. The delta
Compton,
being 190
kilometres... Compton, how many times have I told you not to do that while I'm here?
Do what?
Talk.
Will there be anything else, Effendi?
No, thank you.
Then I will leave you. I'll just doff my fez and go. Right, then. I'll be going, then. I'm going now. I'm opening the door, ready to leave you alone. Right, then. Time I was off. Yes, I'd better be going.
For goodness sake, give him something, Compton.
Oh, sorry. Here you are. Have a couple of these hack's throat lozenges. They're very good. Bye-bye.
We rejoin our two holidaymakers as they prepare themselves for an evening out on the town, with Compton readjusting his braces to suit the clammy climate, and Melissa using the typically Arabic bathroom. Its ballcock always points towards Mecca. Where she is immersed in a bath of fresh ass's milk and thoroughly enjoying it, but not half as much as the milkman. When suddenly, there is a strange knock at the door.
Yes?
Right then, I'll be going. Better be off.
Oh, go away. Nuisance. Oh, hello. What's this mysterious note someone surreptitiously slipped under the door? Meet me in the Camel's Hump Club at 9 o'clock tonight. Signed, A Friend. Ooh, I say, Melissa.
Yes, what was behind this strange note? Who brought it? Where was the Camel's Hump Club? And what happens to Bill O'Ricky in between general elections?
Here's a taxi, Compton. Come on.
Melissa, it's not our turn yet. We're at the end of a very long queue.
Forget the queue. Come on, we're late. Can you take us to the Camel's Hump Club, driver?
Gentlemen, here.
Pardon?
Oh, so sorry. I thought you were Germans.
Germans?
Yeah, the way you pushed to the front of the queue like that.
Oh, cheeky swinehund. Come on, get a move on.
I also thought you were Germans because the Camel's Hump Club is a favorite haunt of ex-Nazis who stayed here after the war.
Panzers?
One or two of the sailors might be, but the others are okay. Ah, here we are.
The inside of the club had all the faded trappings of a pre-war Berlin Nachtklubben. The piano was Nacht. The microphone was Nacht. And the barmaid would never see another hip replacement. The clientele were mainly white-haired old Germans wearing threadbare uniforms of the Nazi high command.
Waiter! Waiter!
You won, my Liebfrau!
Can we have some service? We've been waiting ages.
Ach, that is why we are called the Campbell's Hump Club. Sometimes you can go 3 months without a drink.
Can you suggest anything on the menu? We're starving.
Ah, but we are famous for our Pumperschnitzel.
Pumperschnitzel?
Ah, but this is no ordinary Pumperschnitzel. Our Pumperschnitzel is a gourmet's delight, cooked in heaven from ingredients grown in the fertile soil of the Garden of Eden. Our Pumperschnitzel has a flavor which makes even the most discerning taste buds tingle with delight.
Yes, we'll have that.
Good. Chips or mash?
I'll have the...
Shh! It is time to listen to Helga.
Helga?
Helga Messerschmidt, our resident singer.
Oh.
Rumor has it that she is the illegitimate daughter of the Führer himself.
Poor little baby.
The lights dimmed and an expectant hush descended on the smoke-filled room as Helga appeared on the tiny stage. Even under the pale single spotlight, she could not be mistaken for anything other than of pure German descent. Her hair was Aryan blonde. Her eyes were Aryan blue. Her armpits were Aryan sweaty. Pulling the belt a little tighter around her black SS raincoat and discarding the cigarette that dangled loosely from her lips, she began to sing her sad, nostalgic lament.
Born too late to be a Nazi. Missed the boat, the plane, the taxi. Why, oh my, why was I born too late? Much too young to invade Poland, burn their towns and steal their coal and buy all the Where was I born to land?
Hilda, so good!
And she wants them on herself, you know.
I could have worn an iron cross on jack boots, perfect fits. A brace of swastikas on my sleeves, and a picture of the Führer tattooed on my chest. Oh, lost, too young to work with Göring. The checkout till the test scores is off, so boring. Why, oh, why? Why was I born to learn?
Look! I haven't cried so much since we won the war.
We didn't win, Heinrich. We lost.
All right, but we were winning at halftime, weren't we?
Come on, everybody. Sing up. Well, tonight will be a Nazi. Missed the boat, the train, the taxi. Why, oh,
yes, dear.
Compton.
Yes.
Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves.
Britain never shall.
Here we are. Pumpernickel for two.
You can take that back. I wouldn't serve it to a pig.
Guten Abend. Permit me to introduce myself. I am Count Heikel von Volkswagen, at your service.
Ooh.
I am surprised you have sent back your Pumpernickel. I myself have had two helpings, but no matter. Madam, allow me to stoop and kiss your hand.
Ooh, Compton, isn't he dashing?
Not yet, but he soon will be after two lots of Pumpernickel.
It was I who left the note at your hotel.
Oh?
What's it all about, Count?
I am searching for a lost tomb, the tomb of Pharaoh Sik Azop Arot, the whereabouts of which was known only to his daughter, Asylum.
Ooh.
And what's all this got to do with us?
Mr. Schmollett, what are your views on the theory of reincarnation?
Well, it's all right on fruit salad, but I don't like it in my tea.
Ach so, news and hardlinings, 1978. Ah. Now, would it surprise you to learn that I am a devout believer in reincarnation, and that being so, I am convinced that your wife, Melissa, is the materialized incarnate of Princess Asylum.
I told you, I've always had this strange affinity with Egypt, a sense of belonging.
What?
On hearing this, the German count stood up, and taking an object from his trouser pocket, he began to swing it in front of Melissa.
Here, you can put that thing away. What do you think you're doing?
Hypnotism. I must get into your wife's subconscious mind and make her submit willingly to my suggestions.
Oh, I always find three port and lemons usually do the trick. Carry on.
Melissa, you are going back to a time before you were born. Years and years and years and years.
Yes.
Now, who are you?
Joan Collins.
No, further back, thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
Good. Now, what is your name?
Joan Collins. No, wait. I am Princess Asylum, daughter of the Pharaoh of Upper and Lower Egypt.
Ah, and tell me, Asylum, where is your father's secret tomb?
I cannot reveal its location. I am bound by a deathbed promise.
But in the tomb there is much gold.
I am sorry, I cannot tell.
And much silver.
I am sorry, I cannot tell.
And a magic potion that removes unwanted hair.
Well, I suppose I can draw you a rough diagram. We go down the aisle for about 200 miles.
Oh, look, I have a boat waiting. Come, we go together.
Cast off forehead, number one.
Cast off forehead, sir.
Cast off astern.
Cast off astern, sir.
Now bring her round handsomely, number one.
Bring her round, sir. No good, sir. I never get the hang of this knitting.
Never mind, number one. Tell you what, You lay back on the sand and I'll rub some more ombre solaire all over your body and make your young, rippling muscles glisten in the sun, shall I?
Oh, very well, if you insist, sir. Look, sir, there goes the Nile Queen.
Yes, the brazen hussy.
Horsen! Horsen!
You will make your return?
I am going down below.
Don't worry, it's not unusual for a man of your age.
Watch the wise crack, sunshine. Now, take over the bridge, will you?
You will make your return?
I don't care, Melissa. You should never have pretended to be this Princess Assy-what's-it. You've no idea where the tomb is, have you?
Of course not, Compton, but we're here for adventure, and look what we've got, a free cruise up the Nile.
And when they find out, a free swim back down the Nile. That's if they don't feed us to the crocodiles.
Oh, you worry too much. Come on, let's have a stroll on deck.
Oh, very well.
Here, that's odd.
What?
The cabin door. It's been locked from the outside.
Hey, you're right. That's very peculiar.
And there's something else I don't understand. When we came aboard, I noticed dozens of young women being herded like cattle into the hold. Don't you think that's strange?
Yes, it is. The Miss World contest isn't on until November.
I don't like the look of this contest.
Oh, hello?
Well, I'll be off then. Better be going.
Compton, we're being held prisoner on a Cairo steamer heading for goodness knows where.
Lucky for us, I brought my Charlton Heston survival manual along.
Oh, good.
Now, let me see. Locked in the cabin of a Cairo steamer, page 18. Here we are. Now.
Does it tell us what to do?
Oh, it just says, oh, my God.
You have settled into your cabin okay.
Here you, Count, whatever your name is. Why are we locked in?
Merely as a precaution against you trying to escape, madam.
Escape? Look, if you don't let us out of here at once, I won't tell you where the hidden tomb is located.
You think I believe all that baloney?
Then you're not a real Egyptologist.
Allow me to explain. I am what you might call a white slaver.
Gasp!
I work exclusively for His Royal Highness the Sultan of Wadi Haifa. It is my job to supply him with many concubines for his harem. In fact, he insists on having a different beautiful girl for each day of the year.
And what day am I?
April the 1st. And I hope the Sultan has a sense of humor.
He should have. I understand these sultans like a girl to have a bit of meat on.
Yes, I know, but it's the two veg that I'm worried about.
Compton, how can you stand there joking when we're going to be separated, perhaps never to see each other again?
Oh, you won't be separated.
You're taking me too?
Yes, but of course, you see, the Sultan has a brother who, as we say in the East, wears his turban at a very mischievous angle.
Oh, go.
You can't get away with this. We're ratepayers.
Oh, no, and who is going to stop me?
The Nile Queen, with its cluttered cargo of kidnapped concubines, captured by the cruel, conniving Count, cruised cautiously upriver.
We've got to find a way out of here, Compton.
Yes, let's have a look round. Oh, hello. What's this under the mat?
Oh, it looks like some kind of manhole cover. Try and lift it out.
Okay.
Is it coming loose?
No. No, it's no use.
No. The manhole cover was tighter than a synchronized swimmer's nose clip. What Compton needed was something resembling a crowbar.
Here, Compton, try my nail file.
And you can't get nearer than that.
That's it, Melissa. It's moving. It's coming up. Oh, that's torn it. We've opened the ship's drain plug.
Captain, the ship, it's sinking.
We have to swim for it. Quick, Melissa, down through the hole. Well, come on.
Wait a minute. I have to get my cosy on first.
Oh, we made it, Melissa. We're on the bank. We're safe.
So are all the others. Look.
On the opposite bank, they could just make out a furious Count Heinkel toweling off his dripping concubines.
Compton, let's make a run for it.
Traveling by night and hiding in the rocks by day, our two fugitives from injustice eventually found themselves in the arid and eerily foreboding Valley of the Kings.
Ooh, the sun's coming up, Compton. Better look for a hiding place.
Oh, here's a crack in the rock which no one's ever noticed before. We can just squeeze through. Come on.
Oh, look, it goes right through.
The passage led to a heavy sealed door. Unable to stifle their curiosity, they broke the seal and levered open the massive door.
I'll be going then.
Did you get lost?
Melissa, look.
We found the hidden tomb of Pharaoh Sheik Azzaarat.
Oh, let's get out of here, Melissa, and let the dead rest in peace.
You're right, Compton. Come on, let's...
Oh, no, it's the Count. He's found us.
Sorry, you thought you'd managed to escape.
Mein Gott! Gold! Gold! And it's all mine! It's all mine!
Ooh,
Oh, look at the Count. He's been turned into stone. A lifeless, inanimate block of stone.
Come on, Compton, let's get out of here.
No, Melissa, block of stone or not, we can't just leave him here.
What else can we do with him?
We could get him a trial with Chelsea.
Compton, they've already got 11 blocks of stone. Why do we need another one?
I see them.
Oh, Melissa, you've come over all strange.
I see them.
Yes, Father.
Don't forget to keep your promise.
No, Father.
Come on, Melissa, I'm taking you out of here. Come on.
So, you had a good time, did you, son?
Oh, yes, Dad. Brilliant.
We didn't find the hidden tomb, though, did we, Compton?
That's right, dear. We didn't find the hidden tomb, and what's more, we've no idea where it is, have we?
No idea at all.
Compton.
Yes, Dad?
If you had such a good time, then how come you're back 10 days early?
Well, Egypt's all right, Dad,
come
but...
Come on, Compton, the taxi's here.
But let's face it, Dad, there's nowhere to touch Herne Bay, is there?
You're right there, son.
Compton!
Bye, Mum. Bye, Dad.
Well, on our own again, eh, Mother?
Yes. You know, Dad, whatever people say about our Compton, he's still a bright, intelligent lad, isn't he?
Bright as a new penny, Mother. And... Oh, no, look.
What?
Our Compton. He's forgotten to take his lugworm shovels.
You've been listening to Hudwinks, starring Roy Hudd, ably assisted by his favourite concubines, Denise Coffey, Chris Emmett, Fred Harris and David Goodison. The piano was viciously assaulted by David Furman, the script was written by Ramesses Rowley IV, and the whole thing was produced by the Pharaoh of Langham Street, John Athon J. Mazmore.